God, only you are worthy. Only you are worthy of all our worship and all our praise. You're the only one worthy to open the scroll of the book of life. And Lord, we worship you. God, we thank you that our names are written in that book because of your sacrifice for us. Thank you that through faith, by your grace, we can enter into this confidence that we are in you. And in you, nothing can separate us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to share about Jesus' words that says, I am the bread of life. It's one of the great I ams that Jesus spoke about. I want to speak about the fact that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. We find this in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What a powerful statement. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Last week, I asked this question, is it possible to grow and build a church where 50% of the church come not only to receive, but to give? And we're not talking about money, we were talking about coming to give ourselves to God to establish His will and His purpose and His kingdom. In other words, can 50% of the church have an outward focus? Can we build and grow a church where 50% of the church have a desire that's God's desire, and that is to see the lost saved. A heart that aligns with His heart. A church where 50% of the members pursue what our Lord pursues, and that is simply to seek and save the lost. And we spoke about that, and I asked us if we could start, if the starting point could be our hearts just being expectant and longing to see the lost come, and when they do come, to be excited to receive them. When we have visitors coming into our doors, to notice them, to love them, to care for them, and to actually embrace them into our family, whether it's with a hug or a handshake or with a conversation, but with a heart that longs to see the kingdom grow. And that's one of the things that we are going to. And I want to remind you of the 2-minute rule at the end of the service. But last week, as we read some of the scriptures, there was a portion I mentioned, and I asked this question, where does Jesus speak about the church? And who of you still can remember that scripture where Jesus speaks about the church? There's only twice that Jesus spoke about the church. The rest, Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And that's a challenge for us many times, because so many times we think the kingdom is about the church, but the church is about the kingdom. But the first and the most significant time, the only significant time really, the other one was just an explanation, was found in the book of John and Matthew. And I want us just to, can you still recall, where was that? Matthew 18, well done. No, 16, but close enough. It was Matthew 16. And I just want us to just revisit that, and I want to continue from there. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, powerful question, who does the people say I am? Who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others says Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said to them, but who do you say I am? Say, I am. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus asked two questions, very powerful questions. Who do the people say I am? You know, there are many people that have an opinion about Jesus. There are many opinions going around in this world about who's Jesus. Who is this Jesus? As a matter of fact, there's many Christians that have different opinions about Jesus. And we can follow different opinions of different people about who just Jesus is. But the question this morning is a very simple one. Who do you say is Jesus? This morning, I believe God is asking you and me this very simple question. Who do you say I am? You know, there's so many opinions going around, but there's some people that have never heard about Jesus. They don't have an opinion. That's why evangelism is so important. Because there's some people not just out there far away, but in this very nation that do not know about Jesus. They cannot form an opinion because they don't know Him. They've never heard of Him. Many Christians have opinions, like I said earlier, but this morning the question is, who do you say is Jesus? Who do you say is Jesus? What does that mean? Your answer. I want you to think about this. Who do you say? If Jesus is standing here this morning, and I believe He is, and He's asking us the simple question, who do you say I am? I want you to think about that question. And I want you to think about your answer. And I want you to think about, what does this practically mean in your life? The answer to the question. What does it practically mean? So I want you, just for a moment, just to close your eyes. I just want you to close your eyes and think about the question. Jesus is asking this morning, who do you say? I don't want to know what the people say. I don't know what the church says, what Andre says, or anybody says. I want to know from you, who do you say I am? And I want you just to think about that for a moment. As your eyes are closed, and you're just focusing on Jesus. Who do you say is Jesus? Then I want to ask you a follow-up question. I want to ask you, what difference does your answer make to your life? What difference does the answer to your question make in your life? I want you to think of just one thing. Just one thing. Who is Jesus? What difference does that make in your life? Do you have that one thing? Just one. For some of us, there might be many. But I want you to think of just one thing. What difference does that make in your life? I want you to open your eyes again. And I want you to turn to somebody next to you. And tell them the answer and the difference it makes in your life. Turn to somebody and tell them. Sorry, that's part of my job, is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. What difference does Jesus make in your life? You know why it's so important? Because that's the question the world wants to know. They all see us come to church. They all see us believe in Jesus. But they want to know, what's the difference about it? What difference does it make in your life whether you go to church or not? And we are too afraid to give them an answer. It's even difficult for us to tell each other the reason. But that's not the purpose of the sermon. I just want you to think about who Jesus is. Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And I want to know from you, what difference does it make in your life? If the answer doesn't make enough a difference in your life, you will still probably be hungry. If the answer doesn't make a difference enough in your life, you will probably be still hungry and try to fill your life with something else. Who is Jesus to you? What does He mean to your life? Because if Jesus does not make enough difference in your life, you will still be hungry for more. And you'll start looking to fill your life with other things. Jesus stood up and declared, I am the bread of life. You feed from me will never be hungry. If Jesus doesn't make enough difference in your life, you'll still be hungry for other stuff. And you'll constantly try to fill your life, to fill the hunger with stuff that can only temporarily still the hunger, but can never satisfy it. So my question is, who is Jesus to you? And if you are still hungry, then you are not eating enough. You know, that's why we tell our children, don't eat sweets before you eat your meal. Because if you eat that packet of chips or you eat that popcorn, if you fill your hunger met wind, dan gaan jy nie die kos eet nie. If you fill your hunger with sweets and nothing with nutritional value, if you still the hunger with that, you will not eat the food that you really need. And Jesus says, I am the food that you really need. I am the bread of life. If you are still hungry, it's because you're not eating enough of Him. Because He's the only bread of life. If you are still hungry, you are still filling yourself with other stuff to still that hunger. And Jesus speaks to us this morning. He says, I am the bread of life. You know, it's so powerful, this analogy of eating. To eat something is to ingest it. It's to take of its quality into yourself and make it part of you. I mean, that's the miracle of eating. If you ever thought of that, you take a fruit, a piece of meat, a piece of bread, and you put it in yourself. You chew it. And apparently you have to chew a lot to help your stomach to digest it properly. But as you eat it, you break it down, you swallow it in, and your body consumes it. It takes off all the nutrients that's within it. We cannot live off air. We need food. We need to take substance outside of ourselves that has the energy and the nutrients that we need, and we consume it. We eat it, and it becomes part of us. And when we eat something, it is something we take from the outside of ourselves and absorbing it, utilizing it for our own needs. Eating is a powerful metaphor for reading, watching, and listening. For reading, watching, and listening. What are the things that you are eating? What are the things that you are listening to? What are the things that you are reading? What are the things that you're watching? Because it's stuff from the outside that we take in ourselves and we digest it to become part of us. So what are the things that you are eating to still the hunger that is the need that is within you? We have been designed to take from the outside and consume so that it can fill us. My question is, what are you eating? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you reading that stills the hunger within you? In all these actions, we are consuming knowledge and ideas, and those ideas change the way, shape the way we see life. The things that you read, the things that you watch, the things that you listen to are things that we're taking from the outside, inside of us. We consume it and we take of it its substance that then shapes the way we see life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who feeds on me will never be hungry. You know, different knowledge produces different outcomes. Things that you feed yourself. We know, as you know, I still remember when I was a teenager many years ago in high school. They had this big thing about rock and roll and the dangers. Backward masking. You still remember that? You know, if you take the tape and you play it backwards, another one bites the dust.
play it backwards, decide to smoke marijuana. Remember those days? And it was like, woo, this is evil. You must watch. You must not listen to these things, because the message, there's a hidden message that is in your subconscious programming you. Well, that was about 20, 30 years ago. Today, they don't use backward masking. They just say it as it is. I mean, sometimes I switch over to KFM and Good Hope because my kids, they like the beat. But if I listen to the lyrics, they don't do backward masking anymore. We had to play the tapes backwards to hear what they're saying straightwards. But what you choose to listen to watch, and to read is what you take from the outside, inside, and you consume it, and it changes the way you see life. Slowly but surely. I mean, that's how the world does it, doesn't it? I mean, so many things that we're debating today and accept almost as normal today, 50 years ago wasn't. But through the media, media and comedy. You know, if you want to change a worldview, first start with comedy. Like the whole homosexual issue. First it was Will and Grace, wasn't it? Friends. Slowly but surely, through comedy you break down, and through popular media you break down, and you feed a generation. And all of a sudden, what used to be unacceptable becomes acceptable. Slowly but surely, you can go through so many things in the moral direction of this world that we're living today, how it changes, and you can follow it. You can follow how over time, gradually feeding a generation with thoughts and ideas. And slowly but surely, as we expose ourselves to these things, my question is, what are you feeding on? I'm not here to warn you about some things. I'm just saying Jesus is the bread of life. And only He can satisfy. And if you're still hungry, then you're not feeding enough on Him. If you're still stilling the hunger for life within you, it means you're not eating enough of Him, because if you're satisfied with Him, you won't need the other stuff. The context of Jesus' statement was so powerful. Jesus stood up and says, I am the bread of life. The context for me is so powerful. It was in the context of a string of events that took place in chronological order, one after the other. In a span of 24 hours, the previous day, Jesus just fed 5,000 men, excluding the women and children. We know the great miracle where they all came to receive from Jesus. From all over, the crowd came to feed on Jesus. They came from all over and they sat there from the morning till late at night. Until it was so late that Jesus, moved with compassion, told His disciples, hey guys, it's late. The people haven't eaten the whole day. They've been sitting here and feeding from Me. You, please feed them. And they looked at Jesus, what? Can you count? Even if we had enough money, all the shops are closed. Spar is two. You can pay us two. Or is it near Willie's knee? No, it's near 24-hour shopping. Where are we going to find food? And then Jesus told them, don't tell me what you don't have, Peter, John, Andrew. Tell me what you have. Well, we have 2 fish, 5 loaves, that's it. Jesus said, bring it all to Me. And Jesus fed the 5,000 men, women, children. And then Jesus told His disciples, you go on to the other side. I want to go and pray on my own. They went up to the mountain on their own, and they went on the boat to the other side. And in the middle of the night, Jesus decided, well, I'm going back to My disciples. And He walked on water. You know the whole story. And then they were all afraid. And the whole story of Peter got out of the boat, walked on water to Jesus, got afraid of the circumstance, started to think, remember that? We preached on that. Got back into the boat. And then they got to the other side. And this is where the story continues. Now, in the meantime, the 5,000, they saw, because all their eyes were on Jesus. I mean, especially after this miracle. I mean, they were just like,
looking at Jesus. And then they saw Jesus tells his disciples to get into the boat and go that side. And they saw Jesus go this side up in the mountain on his own. So the next morning, they all went looking for Jesus. And they couldn't find him. And then they remember the disciples went that way. So they all got into boats, some of them, to search for Jesus to the other side. And when they got to the other side, lo and behold, there was Jesus. And they were confused. They asked him, how did you get here? Because we saw you up in the mountain last night, and we saw your disciples going that way. So how did you get here? Now listen to this. Let's read here from verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered and said to them, I love that Jesus just gets straight to the point. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set the seal on him. So Jesus was saying something powerful. When these people were looking for Jesus, they were searching all over for him, and some even to the point of taking their boats and searching for him on the other side of the lake because they couldn't find him on this side of the lake. And when they found him, he said to them something so profound. He said, you were searching for me not because of the miracles. You were searching for me because you were filled with loaves, not that perishes, but that gives everlasting life. You were looking for the food that I give you. Food which endures to everlasting life. And then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they say to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. How powerful is that? You know, last week I had a privilege to meet a new friend. I don't see him here, but he's searching. I don't know why, I just love this guy. He's searching. His life is in a mess. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's so confused. You know what? And there's so many things I could have told him, but the most important thing I could share with him is what I know of God. What I know of God is that he came to give life. He came to give life. And the life that he came to give is a life of abundance. Overflowing, that cannot be contained, that cannot be measured. It's life in abundance. And I know the place where you're at. I know it so well. I was there myself where the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And it was just confusion. I know it so well. But what I can give you is the way to get there. And the only way to get there, I have discovered what I know in my life, not just believe, but know, is that God is the way of life. Jesus is my shepherd. And he leads to where there's life. If you're in this place and you want to get to that place, I can give you the way there because I know the way. Because I found the way. I don't just believe it, I know it. And that is Jesus, he's my shepherd. And I shared with him Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I know if you follow this Jesus, even though it might be difficult, even though it might be hard, even though you need to deny yourself, die to yourself, and follow him, even though he might lead you to the valley of the shadow of death, I know where that goes. And out of 36 years of following this Jesus, I can tell you every single time it leads to where there's life. But you need to decide who you're going to follow. I know that because he is life. If you eat of Jesus, it will produce life. Everything else in this world will produce death. But Jesus produces life. And we all have a choice who we're going to follow, who we're going to eat of. If you're going to eat of this world, it's going to produce death, because there's only two forces in this world. It's either Satan or God. And Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what you're experiencing, my friend, is the devil stealing in your life. But Jesus came to give life. You must eat him. You must listen to him. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to your own desires. Don't listen to your own feelings. Listen to Jesus. Search for him. When you find him, follow him. No matter where he leads you, just follow him. Because even though it's 180 degrees from this world, just follow him. Because he will lead you to life. I know that. I have a whole life where I can look back, and I know how difficult it is at times. I know the sacrifices. I know how you need to deny yourself at times and how you need to die to yourself at times. But as you follow him, it always leads to life. And the longer you follow him, the more you can look back at your life and say, you know what? I know what David was speaking about when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because I'm following Jesus. I'm eating of the bread of life. Like Wigglesworth says, consume the word until it consumes you. Eat it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Then it continues in John chapter 6, and then the Jews then complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says he's come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to the Father, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh. And I shall give for the life of the world. Then the Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your forefathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? This is so hard to understand. These words of Jesus, this is difficult. This way that he's going, this is very hard to understand. This is a difficult road you're taking us on. This is so difficult for us to understand. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend from where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, did not believe, and who would betray him. And then he said to them, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father. Verse 66,
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus, the things that you are saying is hard to grasp. It is difficult to understand. The world goes this way, Jesus, but where you're going, this is difficult. The things that you're saying, Lord, it is hard to understand. And from that day on, many of his disciples followed him no more. And then Jesus turned to the 12. Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, Lord, it is hard to understand. It is hard to follow. But where else shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Son of God. Many people have an opinion about who Jesus is. Many people believe in Jesus. But what do you know about him? What do you know about him? Does that make a difference in your life? Because what you know of him, doesn't make a big enough difference in your life, you will fill it with other stuff. It means you need to eat of him more. Because the more you eat of him, the less you would want from this world. Because the more satisfied you will become. Even though it's hard to understand and difficult to follow, if you choose to follow him, it will produce life. Because he is the bread of life. Only his words leads to life. Not the words of this world. Not the songs that we listen to, the movies that we watch, the books that we read, the magazines. It has no life in it. But it has substance in it. Make no mistake of it. It has substance. But what do you fill yourself with to satisfy the hunger? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. And the more you eat of him. And that's the difference between believing in Jesus and knowing Jesus. It is when you take the word of God and you don't just read it, you don't just believe it, but you start to apply it in your life. Even though it's difficult, even though it's hard to understand, when you start to take the word of God, what he teaches, when you take his word and his example and his voice, and you start to apply it into your life, you consume it. You chew on it. Sometimes it's like a good steak, you have to chew it well. You know, spook awesome, you don't need to chew. It's nice and sweet, it melts in your mouth, you don't need to chew anything, but there's very little value in it unless you want to bounce up and down like this. But if you want meat, you got to chew it. Milk, you can just swallow, but meat, you got to chew. And as you chew on it and you swallow it in and you consume it and make it part of you and you start to apply it in your life. When you apply the word of God, it becomes experience. Not just belief, it becomes experience. And belief moves to knowing. And you can say, but I believe and know that you are the Son of God. I don't just believe you're the Son of God, I know it. You are the Son of God and it changed my life. It still changes it all the time. It is the source of life. Whenever I follow you, you lead to life. I cannot live without you. Because I know you. I know you. Who do you say is Jesus? It's not
not the reading of the Word of God, it is the living of it. That is when faith becomes following and faith becomes knowing. Is it possible to build and grow a church where 50% of the church is only satisfied in Jesus? Is it possible to build and grow a church where 50% of the church is only satisfied with Jesus? Because they're following Him. Because they not only believe in Him, they know Him. They don't just believe in Him, but they consume Him. They eat Him as the bread of life. This is the primary source of life. And even though it's hard to understand and hard to follow, I'm going to apply this word, this example, this voice of Christ in my life. And I'm going to follow wherever it leads. Is it possible that 50% of the church can say, I don't only believe in Jesus, I know Jesus. And this is the difference it makes in my life. I cannot live without Him anymore. Because only He has the words of eternal life. Is it possible? Is it possible that we grow to this place that it makes such a difference in our lives that people will come to us and ask us, why are you so different? Why are you so different? And that we will be bold enough when they ask us, like Peter said, that we will be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. It's because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Is it possible that we can labor for that food? Is it possible? I believe yes. That's my dream. That's my dream. I had a very difficult conversation with a man that was in a very difficult place. And I could give him so many great arguments. But what I gave him, almost like Peter and John said, you know, silver and gold I don't have. What I do have. Well, I don't know how to get you out of this mess, but I know who can. Because He got me out of that mess. And He still does every day. And I've followed Him for so long that I'm so confident when storms and tribulations and challenges come, I am not afraid anymore. Because He is life. And sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes I have to deny myself and die to myself and just follow Him. And sometimes He takes me through the valley of the shadow of death, but I am not afraid because He's with me. And His staff and His rod, His discipline, correction, it comforts me because I know even though I make a wrong mistake, a wrong choice, you know what? He is right there to correct me. And I have confidence in that because I know. And life becomes an adventure. Without fear, who shared about giving? Without fear. That's freedom. I can live life without fear because He's with me. I'm following Jesus. I'm not following what the world says about financial security. I'm following Jesus. But guess what? I have more financial security than most because I'm following Jesus. Hey, I mean, it's a good God. Why are we so afraid? The word came out, I am your great reward. I mean, I am your great reward. Why are we so afraid to follow Jesus? To let go of the things in this world that make sense in this world, just follow Jesus. God says, I am your great reward. He says, I am your shield and your great reward. How powerful was that? I'm the one that protects you. And I'm your great reward. It only makes sense when you get there. I want to encourage you this morning. Who do you say is Jesus? Just eat Him. Consume Him.
say, Lord, I want more of you. You say you are the bread of life. God, I want to eat you until it produces the life that you promise. And I'm going to chew this bread until it does. And I'm going to swallow it. I'm going to make it part of myself. And I'm going to go on a Jesus diet. Not the Tim Noakes diet. Not the Atkinson's diet. Not the Daniel diet, the Jesus diet. I'm going to cut out all these other stuff and I'm going to eat Jesus. I'm going to eat Jesus until He produces in me the life that He promises. Because He, and only He, has the words of eternal life. So this morning, won't you consider a diet of Jesus? Just beer, no adjectives, no artificial ingredients, just Jesus. And for some of you, it might mean you need to switch off God TV and TBN and just eat Jesus yourself. For some of you, you need to decide, I'm going to switch off the TV for a season and just eat Jesus. Some of you mean to let go of certain things in your life that is filling you, that is stilling the hunger within you. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to put that aside and I'm going to eat Jesus until I'm no longer hungry. But will you consider this morning a Jesus diet? For some of us, just one thing. Will you consider as you close your eyes? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and consider one thing in your life that you're going to stop filling yourself with. One thing of this world. Just one thing. It can be small, it can be great. Whatever the Spirit leads, wherever the Spirit presses on your heart this morning. If there's one thing that you're going to leave out and fill it with more of Jesus, don't just leave it because you'll still be hungry. As you leave something, fill it with something else. I'm not asking you to fast. I'm asking you to eat. Eat more of Jesus. Let go of something and replace that something with more of Jesus. And see how it changes your life. See the health benefits it brings to you. To your soul, to your family, to your relationships. Will we consider to do that this morning? Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we bring you our diet. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will show us which areas in our life we need to eat more of Jesus. Lord, show us the junk food. And may it be replaced with the solid food. The healthy food. The Jesus food. Lord, as we come this morning and you press on our heart, Lord, I'm going to give an opportunity for each and every one of us to respond just in our seats. Say, Lord, I'm going to leave this candy. I'm going to leave this music and this program, this event. And I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to leave one thing and I'm going to fill it with more of Jesus. So that I can grow up into the man and the woman you desire me to be. So Lord, this morning, as we let go, Lord, I pray that we will eat more of you. Thank you that you are the bread of life, and whoever feeds on you will have everlasting life. Thank you that your words, your flesh, is food indeed, and your blood, it's drink indeed. And whoever eats and feeds on you abides in you, and you in them, and your life that you promise will manifest through each and every one of us. So Lord, I thank you for this. For the word that you've given us, for your Son, for your word, your example, and your voice, because you still speak today, that we can follow you. And you will lead us to where there's life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May you have a prosperous Jesus diet with all its benefits. There's some great coffee and refreshments. Remember the 2-minute rule. Connect with somebody you don't know for 2 minutes and then with your friends for the rest of the time. And if you're a guest, please don't be alarmed when so many people welcome you.
Have an awesome week. If you're in need of prayer, we're going to be right here for a moment or two. So if you want prayer, we're going to be here. But for the rest of you, have an awesome week. May God bless you.